listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
You and everyone you know have been born to learn. All humans are on Earth to attend school. People know this intuitively, but they don't really live by it. And now you can. I'm Eileen Dillon. Born to Learn is the title of my latest book, available at emotionalpro.com. The result of 30 years of investigation, which gives you the big picture and the instruction book. Born to Learn gives you information you need to turn your problems into puzzles and then solve them. Life is kinder when we complete our homework assignments. Start today. Order Born to Learn at emotionalpro.com and get a leg up on your life.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. We're talking today with Dr. Charlotte Resnick, the author of The Power of Your Child's Imagination. Dr. Resnick, where can people get a copy of this book?
Oh, at their local bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, any online bookstore, and they could start out direct, or they can go to my website and there'll be direct links.
Great. So just about anywhere, because I want to get a copy. I've got grandchildren who are 1 and 3 years old, and I think this would be really wonderful for my son and daughter-in-law to have. I think they'd really enjoy knowing about this wonderful technique that you've developed. You have a quote in your book. You say, "Anger surfaces so fast it steals the limelight. Look past anger and you often find the real players: sadness, hurt, disappointment, frustration, or betrayal. These are fragile feelings, and anger often runs out first to protect them." I have never heard it stated that way. Can you explain a little more about that?
Sure, absolutely. Because what happens is, I always think of anger as a secondary emotion. Often there is hurt or sadness underneath, and when we get hurt, we immediately, instead of feeling the hurt feelings or feeling the sadness, which are actually sometimes more uncomfortable to feel than anger, then it's like anger. You just get angry. You know, someone hurts your feelings and you just react and say something nasty back to them, or, you know, a kid pushes another kid. But it's really the hurt or the sadness. So we want to take a look at those feelings under the anger. And you could do that easily when you close your eyes and do your breathing and imagine, where's your anger in your body? What color is it? What shape is it? And get a sense of where it is, and then find the other feelings that are, it could be frustration, it could be sadness or hurt, and find where they are in your body, and maybe even start a conversation between them and see what each needs.
Thank you for that. We're in difficult times right now, and I'm hearing a lot about people who are reacting in anger to their children and family members when they may not previously have reacted that way. And like you say in The Power of Your Child's Imagination, you say that big emotions roll through like enormous waves for kids. Mm-hmm. Can we use these same tools for ourselves when we're angry. How do adults use them?
The same way. I just changed the language depending on the age. So absolutely. I even did a parent support CD because the book has imagery for parent support. Because it's very tough to be a parent. You know that. And the stresses of the days just make you more irritable, and you need to take a little time for yourself, even if it's a minute or two, practicing your breathing. And take good care of yourself. And I always tell parents the best way you could help your child is to take care of you and find the time to nurture your own needs, even if it's 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes makes a difference. And so all the parents have to do is, as they're reading, they could just see, how can I apply it to myself, just like you did with the raccoon and your animal friend. I think it would bring the family closer together.
Yes. Yeah. I often tell people in my parenting class that if you're having a difficulty with your child, it's usually something in yourself that you need to adjust. So I think that's really great, advice. How did you derive the fifth tool, receiving gifts from inner guides? If I were afflicted with rage or anger that seemed out of control, I could ask for gifts, or my child could ask for gifts. How does that work?
Well, you kind of ask for some help. You see who shows up to help you. Ask for one of your guides to show up, an animal friend or a wizard. You just, once you learn the tools, you just have to see who shows up. And then ask them to help you in the moment. Like, maybe they can offer you a gift, or spontaneously they offer gifts. And gifts don't have to be something tangible. Of course, it's in the imagination. But it could be a word. It could be a thought. It could be an idea, because that's a gift. It was a gift when your raccoon told you to grab life and take just what you need. That was your gift from the raccoon. So it's a slightly different way of looking at a gift.
Yeah, definitely slightly different.
Like, one girl had anger. She had anger was in her knee, and it was like a Red Bull. And she asked for something to help, and the gift was a filter that she could put around her neck, kind of a white filter, that when she spoke, it calmed her Red Bull down. And the Red Bull was there to protect her from the bull in other people. And so in the anger, when you think of, you know, a bull being filled with steam. And then I think it might have been her wizard, I'm not sure, gave her the gift of a love potion, and that was in her heart. And the idea was to sprinkle some of the love potion on the Red Bull. And what happened was the Red Bull went to sleep and relaxed and turned into a calm sleeping bull. So that was her gift. So she really had control.
I was surprised in reading that story about the fact that she had a Red Bull in her knee.
Yeah.
Now, you also talk about teaching children meditation. And I love this quote from an 8-year-old, Paolo. He, through meditation, apparently learned something about his fear. And he said, "Fears teach you lessons. When you're afraid, they get bigger and bigger. But if you face them, they get littler and littler." So,
yes.
And then he said, "Meditating with the balloon breath helps get rid of the bad guys." What's meditating when you're 8?
Well, you know, it's interesting, because when I started this work, the balloon breath was the only words I used. And really, the balloon breath is a form of meditation. It's breathing slowly into your belly and below your belly button. That's all it is. It's getting it's becoming relaxed and focused and clearer. And you don't have to be like a special Eastern mystic or go to any ashram or study with any guru, but basically the balloon breath is a form of meditation. It's one of the forms. And so that particular boy was using the term meditation interchangeably, really, with the balloon breath, because in his family they did meditate. But in many families, that's not something people even think of or know about. But just knowing that kind of breathing is like a meditation, that is good enough. It's sort of like even walking slowly can be a meditation. Anything that helps you be focused and not think of a million other things and helps clear your mind.
Okay, so my question is, what is meditating when you're 8?
Oh, yes, yes, that was that little sweet little boy. And you know what? The balloon breath is a form of meditation, because you're breathing down below your belly button, and that's one of the ways people learn to meditate. So because he was in a family that used to meditate, he realized it was the same kind of thing, so he would use the word interchangeably. But when I started working with this, meditation wasn't really popular, so we just used the balloon breath. But that's what it is. It's one of the forms of meditation. So when you're 8, meditating is just what it is. You do your breathing, you connect, you start to clear your mind a little bit. And so for kids, a lot, we do guided meditations, and then I have them practice the balloon breath on their own, which is a form of meditation, and I have them start with 3 breaths and then work up to 10, and then we time them how many they can do in a minute, and then we maybe increase it every 2 weeks, another 10 breaths, so that pretty soon they're meditating for 3 or 5 minutes.
Wow. And you use self-hypnosis, too. How does a child hypnotize themselves?
It's all of these techniques are on a continuum. So when I'm thinking about a girl who was having trouble with going to the doctor or the dentist, and when she was doing her balloon breath and getting very calm and going deep inside herself, she would then give herself positive suggestions that she would feel calm when she goes to the dentist, that any needles would feel like a little tickle. And so she was talking to herself in a positive way, because when you do hypnosis with people, you give them positive suggestions. So the self-hypnosis is giving yourself positive suggestions, but you want to be in that deeply relaxed state so that those suggestions go deep inside into your unconscious.
Mm-hmm. Now, you now work with kids in an office where people are bringing people to you. I don't know how many kids actually have warts these days, but I had a number of warts as a child, and I was surprised to discover in your book that that may have had to do with the enormous stress that I was under as a child, having moved from place to place and lost my mother when I was under the age of 3 and so forth and so on.
Yes,
and you can get kids to remove their own warts.
Yes, because warts are a virus, we know that, and if your immune system is compromised, you're more vulnerable to the virus. So when you're under a lot of stress, your immune system goes down, and the factors inside that help you fight off infection or virus or disease are lower. So that's the component where that your emotions might come in. And then with warts, you can imagine cutting off the blood supply because the warts are being fed. And if you cut off the blood supply just before it pops up on your skin, then there's no place for them to go. And there's a lot of research in this area where kids can it's not just me. All over, people are working with kids and adults releasing their warts.
Wow. I particularly like the ice cream freeze method.
Oh,
that was great.
Yes. Isn't that yummy?
Imagine cream on it and it freezes it.
Right. Exactly. Because a lot of times when you go to the doctor, they use the nitrous oxide or nitrogen or some form that like dry ice and it freezes it. Or you could do it yourself, imagining ice cream or frozen yogurt. And they do those kind of techniques also. You could do that if you're getting any kind of medical procedure and you don't want to feel the pain of the needle going in. You just numb yourself by imagining ice on it or ice cream or something fun like that.
Man, the more people learn these techniques, the easier things are going to get for our kids, which is good. They can turn their attention to other things.
And then we could use it from the negative, from transforming the negative to improving and increasing the positive. So you develop better, even better grades or more love or a better relationship at home or more friends.
Now, the way that you work with kids and that you recommend parents work with kids has something to do with what you were just talking about. You really have to set it up so that you listen to your child, you respect what comes out of them, you don't get concerned about whether things make logical sense or not, and you accept whatever answer they come up with. Did I understand that correctly?
Perfectly. Yes. Because you want to create an open atmosphere where your child wants to talk to you and feel safe talking to you. And when you accept what they say, they're more likely to feel safer and share more.
Yeah, it reminded me when my son went off to college when he was just barely 16. He had stopped high school and went to a special college. And he developed a very intimate problem there that he called me about and discussed with me. And after we had discussed it and come up with some ideas, I said, I really feel special that you would talk to me about something so intimate to you. And he said, well, there's a reason that I do, Would you like to know what it is? And I said, sure. He said, Mom, if just once in all the times I've talked to you, you so much as said a, I would never have told you another thing.
Wow. Just once, even if that happened once.
Just once.
Big impact.
He was telling me that it was the accepting, whatever is so for you approach that made the difference for me being able to stay connected to my child. So I was thinking as I was reading this, wow, you're really offering parents a way to connect with their child for a lifetime. It's wonderful.
That's right. Because you want to think about, as a parent, what's my goal with my child? Do I want to have a good relationship with him so he could talk to me and feel safe, or do I want to be right all the time?
Well, you know, and this so, very son and I appeared on a national talk television show when he was 19, the Rolanda Show, and it was a show on spanking. And when they came to him, I had grown up in a family where there was spanking, and I'd had to learn not to do it. And they came to him, and they said, well, what do you think? Should a parent spank, or should they not spank? And he said, well, it depends on the kind of relationship you want to have with your child.
How insightful. Because a lot of parents, they're frustrated, so they don't know what to do. One, they were spanked as a child, or they feel it'll get the child's attention. And yes, it gets their attention, but it also creates a lot of fear and anger in the child.
Right. Well, his point was that if you want them to do what you tell them, then hit them. But if you want to have a relationship with your child, don't hit them.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Well, when we come back, I want to explore a few more things here with you, like sleep and bedwetting. But for now, it's time for another break. We're talking with educational psychologist Dr. Charlotte Resnick. You can find out more about her at imageryforkids.com. And you can get a copy of her wonderful book, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, at any bookstore in your life. So this is Full Power Living. I'm Eileen Dillon. We will be right back.